Good morning. The reading is from Genesis chapter 19, verses 23 through 29. The sun had risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar. Then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. So he overthrew those cities, all the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities, and what grew on the ground. But his wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham went early in the morning to the place where he had stood before the Lord. Then he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah, and toward all the land of the plain. And he saw, and behold, the smoke of the land which went up like the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in which Lot had dwelt.
Good to be here this morning. We appreciate everyone's presence. Always a joy to be able to worship with those of like precious faith. We're certainly glad for any visitors that we have. We're glad to have some of our members back with us. But some come and some go. And so we have others traveling now. But we're glad that those who have returned safely. Certainly good to see Devin and Adela here, and most happy for Autumn. So they certainly are joy to see, and glad that they're here, made it safely here. Good to see the Harveys, and always wonderful to see them as well. What kind of Christian are you? Are you a Christian with little faith or great faith? Are you a Christian who seeks first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, or are you one that has relegated God to the back seat of your life? What kind of Christian are you? Those questions can probably be answered by how you answer this next question, and that is, from a spiritual standpoint, are you strong or are you weak? Paul understood the importance of being spiritually strong. We remember that he many times would exhort individuals and churches to be strong. The one that comes to mind first has to do with Timothy, his young companion in the faith. In 2 Timothy 2, at verse 1, he said, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." And why was that so important to Paul? Why did he want Timothy to be strong? He exhorted many others to be strong. The question is, why? And the answer is, because he understands what we are up against. In Ephesians chapter 6, of course, we have another familiar passage in which he gave the same or similar exhortation. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we wrestle not, or we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. So Paul understood that in this spiritual battle that we are in, we're not in some kind of physical fight. It doesn't matter how strong or how fast or how big or how smart we might be, because it's not physical. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, he says, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness. And then he said, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. That sounds dangerous, doesn't it? And it is. That's what we're up against. The spiritual forces of evil. They're allies of the devil. And that's what we're wrestling against. It comes in many different forms and fashions, the evil forces of evil. It might include pride or ambition, revenge, envy, lust, etc. These are things that we fight against, wrestle against. These are things that sometimes tempt us, and sometimes Christians will find themselves giving in to some of these things. It might be superstition or false doctrine or religious error. It might be humanism, atheism, agnosticism, liberalism, heathenism, and the list goes on and on. We're not in a physical battle. We fight against these forces of evil, and so we must be strong. And we remember, of course, that the devil, with all of his allies, one thing we can be sure about this morning is they're not going to give up and they're not going to quit. The devil is pretty much up to his same old tricks. He's operating the same way he always has. I remember the time in the time of Job when he appeared before God and God asked him the question, from where did you come? And you remember his response. He said, from going to and fro on the earth and walking up and down upon it. And the devil hasn't gone anywhere. The fact of the matter is, he's still going to and fro and walking up and down the earth. And it's not just for exercise. He has a goal that he has never really changed. And you remember Peter warned us about it. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And do you know who he has success devouring? It's the weak. And so the question is, are you strong or are you weak? Are you strong enough to stand against the wiles of the devil? As the devil walks about seeking whom he may devour, as he is going to and fro on the face of the earth looking for his prey, are you going to be one of them? It all depends on whether you're strong or weak. And so Paul exhorts us, he exhorted Timothy to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And we're going to look, he gives three illustrations of how we can do that. Before we do that, let me look just quickly at two things with regard to this word strong. First of all, it's in the imperative mood, in the present tense, and that simply means that the command is that we are strong every day. Like we need to be strong no matter what tomorrow brings. We are commanded to be strong. No matter what the circumstance may be, no matter what the situation is, we have to be strong because, again, the devil is not going to rest. He's going to continue to come at us over and over and over again, and so we must be strong. And number two, something else about that word strong, and this is encouraging to us, it's in the passive voice. And what that means is simply that the strength under consideration, the source of the strength is not us. It's another. Someone says, I don't know if I have the power to overcome the devil. He is so powerful and strong and experienced. And if that's the way you feel, you're right about that. You don't have the power to overcome Satan by yourself. Fortunately, we have access to power that can. The devil can be defeated, but not by our own strength and power, but rather by the power of God. The Greek word for strong there literally means to be empowered. It's why the ESV says strengthened by the grace of God. The bottom line is that God gives us the strength. He gives us the power, the ability to defeat the devil. But we have to take advantage of it. We have to do what is necessary to tap into that strength and power so we can overcome him. And Paul gives three illustrations that help us with that in this immediate text of 2 Timothy chapter 2. First of all, We must be strong. To be strong, we must have the soldier's devotion. And verses 3 and 4, he simply says, "You therefore must endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." And so, once again, we have the question. Let me just tell you, we're all soldiers in Christ. Like, it's not like some of you are and some of you aren't. When you obey the gospel of Christ, you enlisted. There's no doubt about what all of us are as Christians. We are soldiers. The question is, what kind? And Paul tells Timothy, you need to be a good soldier. And so how do we do that? You notice he says, first of all, we need to endure hardness, because being a soldier is not easy. We understand, even most of us haven't experienced real warfare, but it didn't take a genius to know that it is tough being out there in battle. Like, war is always tough. It's a hardship involved. And good soldiers have the ability, they have the strength to endure when those hardships come upon them. Not an easy thing to do. It's not easy in a physical war. It's not easy in spiritual warfare. There are many individuals in Christ, soldiers, who quit at the first sight of trouble. The first time they experience pain in their life, the first hardship that comes their way, they throw up their hands and quit. What kind of soldier are you? Do you have the strength to endure hardness? You know, there is no doubt about it that there is going to be problems in life. We've talked about it many times before. In this tabernacle, we groan being burdened. Why? Because of the hardships of life. And in this spiritual warfare, again, the devil is alive and active. He does everything he can to hurt us, to cause trouble in our life. He can't miraculously reach in and do that, but he has schemes. We need to be aware of the schemes of the devil. And when trouble comes, we need to endure. Over and over, we're encouraged in Scripture to have that kind of steadfastness. We labor, working with our hands. When reviled, we bless. When persecuted, Paul said, we endure. And most of you know, not too many people had to endure as much as Paul. But he was a good soldier. He could tell he could exhort Timothy to be a good soldier, because that's exactly what he was. He demonstrated it over and over again. Whether he was being stoned or beaten with rods or whipped or shipwrecked, whatever it was, he endured. He was in position to tell others, be strong. We need to be good soldiers who can endure as well. James 5, verse 11, behold, we count them happy which endures. And these passages, by the way, just imply, at least indirectly, that there is going to be trouble in our life. Life just isn't always smooth. There are difficulties. That's because of the presence of sin in this world. Because we are tempted by that one who is walking about trying to devour us. Sometimes it's just because of life itself. There's ups and downs and trials and tribulations just associated with life. The question is, how do we handle them as soldiers of Christ? Blessed are those who have the ability to endure. Peter said, for this is a gracious thing. When mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. You have the ability to endure. Are you a good soldier? If you are, you're not going to just quit when a problem enters into your life. What does that take? It takes some commitment, doesn't it? It takes some devotion to the cause. When you're really devoted as a soldier, that's when you don't quit just because things don't go your way. Or even when there's serious hardship, because you're devoted to it. And so we must endure hardship. And then he says something else that is an indication of devotion. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. Just stop and think about that. We know that's true from a physical standpoint, in a physical warfare. Like those who go off to war, when they're in battle, in the heat of battle, they're not thinking about the occupation that they left behind. The teacher is not thinking about his students. The lawyer is not thinking about his cases. The farmer is not thinking about his crops. Now, you may stop and consider some physical things or even life back home when you have some downtime. But when you're in the heat of battle, when you're actually engaged in the warfare, the only thing that is important is that battle. Because your life depends on it. And so there's a focus there. I saw this picture some time ago. This is a soldier. You can't see him very much, but you can see where he's going there. He's fighting in Afghanistan. That's where the battle is going on at this time. But you think about what's inside that area there. This photographer says, what must it be like to creep around a blind corner not knowing if you will meet a bullet? They're hoping, obviously, that no one's there, but they have to make sure. Somebody has to go in there and see. Now, let me ask you this. What do you think that is on that soldier's mind right there? You think he's daydreaming? You think he's thinking about back home at that moment? He is totally engaged, devoted, focused on the job at hand. Because that's just the nature of being a soldier. You're in danger. You know that you're in danger. So you have that devotion. Our problem spiritually is sometimes we forget the danger. We forget that there might be a bullet right around the corner. We forget that the devil is alive and active and he's just waiting for us to put our guard down or take our armor off so that we'll be vulnerable, and you could be sure that at that point he will attack. We have to have the focus that is necessary. Another quick quote here. This is from a World War II veteran. He wrote, "You have to depend entirely upon your quickness of spirit. If you see something over there out of the corner of your eye and it's not supposed to be there, you have to be quicker than that person is at leaping up and shooting him. And he's going to do the same thing to you. So being alert and being quick all the time is very important. I hadn't realized that much in training, but I did after the first week on the line." Being alert. It doesn't take you long when you're in a real physical battle to know that alertness, focus is important. You can't be daydreaming and thinking about home when you're on the line. Well, as we make a spiritual application of that, the same thing is true. We too many times we just lose our focus. Too many times we get entangled and the affairs of this life. And that causes us to lose our focus. We are all physical beings. We live in a physical world. And we have some interest in physical things. That's not in itself wrong, of course. Even Paul had some physical interest. He was a tent maker by trade. So, you know, he gave some time to that. But he wasn't obsessed with that. That wasn't his life. He was focused on his spiritual cause, the cause of Christ. And so in this world in which we live, too many Christians make the mistake of just getting too entangled in this life, forgetting that we're just pilgrims passing through. Like, there's too many things to mention of things sometimes that we allow to distract us. Sports sometimes. Anything wrong with sports? Absolutely not. I love sports. Nothing wrong with watching it. Nothing wrong if you're at the right age of being involved in participating in it. But don't get obsessed with it. Don't let it become your life. We always tell parents, don't put any sport before the Lord. Don't skip services on Sunday because there's a ball game, or on Wednesday because there's practice. When you do that, you become entangled. We don't want to become entangled in the affairs of this life. Another area where we see that happening all the time in the church is politically. At this time of the season, of course, with an election approaching, we can find ourselves getting altogether too entangled. But it's not just during this period of time. Some, throughout their lives, some Christians, it seems, care more about country than Christ. We have to be careful about that, especially when we're blessed to live in a wonderful country of freedom that has done so much for us in so many different ways. Still, we need to understand, this is not our home. Our real allegiance is to Jesus Christ in His cause. There's some who care more about things being made in America than they do helping other people to be made in the image of Christ. We have to put first things first. The end of the day, this country and everything a part of it is just a part of this world. We can't get entangled in the affairs of this life. It distracts us. It causes us to put our guard down, and the devil will attack. The good soldier doesn't allow that to happen. The good soldier is devoted because he is engaged. She is engaged in the spiritual cause that we are involved in. What kind of soldier are you? He gives another illustration. To be strong, we must have the athlete's discipline. At verse 5, he says, and also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. A lot of things we could talk about, but I would point out two things here. First of all, an athlete must have discipline to compete. So we understand if you're going to be successful in athletics, the sports are all different and have different abilities and skills that you need for various sports. But there's one thing that you have to have in any sport. If you're going to succeed, you have to have discipline. And we need that spiritually too, don't we? There's a reason Paul used this as an analogy, as an illustration. He understands there's a lot in common between athletics and being a Christian. Christians to succeed have to discipline themselves to compete. To be competitive, we have to have discipline. We all know the most familiar passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Turn over there, though. Let's just put it before us. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning at verse 24, Paul uses this as an illustration again. 1 Corinthians 9 at verse 24, do you not know, Paul writes, that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize, so run that you may obtain it. Notice that, the exhortation, run. And run the right way. Don't just jog around the track. Run as if you really want to obtain. Sprint. Run as hard as you can. The Hebrews writer says, laying aside every weight. If you really want to obtain the crown that you're after, that's what you have to do. Get anything that impedes your progress forward out of your life. It doesn't matter how attached you are to it, how long you've been attached to it. Get it out of your life so that you can run this race like you should. Run as if you really want to obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Again, with almost all athletes, not every one of them, but with most athletes, they're very disciplined when it comes down to their bodies, to being in shape, at least during the season of where their sport is going on. They do everything they can to be in tip-top condition. And they because they want the prize. But Paul says their prize is perishable. The prize that we're going after is far more significant. It has to do with the salvation of our soul. It's imperishable. Shouldn't we have the same discipline, the same self-control as the athlete? Paul is saying we must. He says, and so I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air. But I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. Paul, one of the greatest Christians who ever lived. You know, how did he reach the heights that he did spiritually? As I've often pointed out, it had nothing to do with him being an apostle or baptized with the Holy Spirit or any of that. He reached the heights that he did because he was a man who the King James says buffeted his body. He exercised rigid self-control, and that's what all of us need to do. Remember, the devil is walking to and fro on the face of the earth. He's looking for individuals like you. He's not eyeing people who are in the world and who haven't obeyed the gospel. He already has them. He's coming after you. He wants to devour me. How can we overcome him and all of his antics and all of his schemes? One thing we have to have is some self-control. We have to have discipline, the discipline of an athlete. We need to train. Athletes, one of the things they do, and they're disciplined to do it consistently, is they work out, they train. Our training comes in the form of Bible study and prayer and fellowship and getting engaging in spiritual things that help us to be what God wants us to be, that helps us to be strong and not weak. Just write it down. The person that never studies, going to be vulnerable. That person's going to be weak. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We know that. You got to make the time to study the word of God. You have to make the time to pray. Assembling with the saints and all spiritual activity we have to do, it helps us to be strong. We need to train. The Hebrew writer said, but solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Who's going to train you? At the end of the day, we're responsible of training ourselves. We need to use what God has given us so that we can have the strength to overcome the devil. And then number two we find here, and we could spend a whole lesson on this, but an athlete must compete according to the rules. Isn't that something? We are mocked all the time. We are called legalists and everything else for emphasizing we have to be doctrinally sound. We have to make sure we do things with authority. And people think, well, that doesn't sound good. That's too burdensome. That's too traditional. Stop talking about all that stuff. People don't like it. People are offended by it. Here's Paul saying, you want to be a good soldier? You want to be able to survive the spiritual warfare that we're engaged in? Do you want to be strong? It involves making sure that you compete according to the rules. Doctrine is important. You can be disqualified by running out of bounds, or like a runner who just steps slightly over the white line on the racetrack. If it is seen, disqualified. Could be the fastest runner in the group. It makes no difference. Could have trained for hours and hours and months just for that race. It doesn't matter. You have to run according to the rules. And spiritually, that has to do with staying in the boundaries of this book, making sure that what we do is doctrinally sound and according to the Word of God. Well, quickly, a third thing, to be strong, we must have the farmer's determination. The third illustration that Paul sets forth, the hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Now, the key there, as you can see, is the hardworking farmer. You know what you don't hardly ever see is a lazy farmer. Farming is hard work. It involves a lot of toil, of feeding and breeding and sowing and reaping, and depending on what kind of farmer you are, it will determine your activity, but you're always active, always working. Ask a farmer how hard it is. It might be very satisfying work. I'm sure that it is, but it is not easy. There are no lazy farmers, because their crops or whatever it is that they're farming depends upon their hard work. It's not by accident that Paul uses this as an illustration as he talks about being strong in the Lord. You know something else? You will never see a lazy Christian. You might see a lazy child of God, but if you're really a Christian, you'll be engaged in the work that God has given you to do. We're told over and over, and we'll not spend a lot of time, but all these passages, wherefore we labor, Paul says, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. You think about that in connection with what Paul said about being a good soldier. You remember that in that text, Paul emphasized the reason we want to be good soldiers, the reason we care about enduring and all of that, is because we're trying to please the one who has enlisted us. That would be Jesus. And that's where our mindset needs to be. And so Paul said, we labor. And the reason he labored is because he wanted to be accepted of him, of Christ. But the point is, he was a laborer. In Philippians 1 and verse 22, if I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. See, Paul, you know the context of that. Paul just assumed to depart and be with Christ. He wanted to stay here because he could help other people. But how could he help other people? He'd have to labor. And he knew that if he stayed here, that's exactly what he was going to do, because that's who he was. He was a laborer. What about you? What about me? What kind of work are we doing in the kingdom of God? Are we among those who are actually working and laboring? The Hebrew writer said, let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. What about Revelation 14, verse 13? And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, said the Spirit, that they may rest from their labor. What if there is no labor? There won't be any rest. To enter into heaven, you have to labor right now. To get that long, eternal rest in the presence of God, you have to labor right now. If you work and toil now like a farmer, if you sow the way you're supposed to, then you will rest from your labors and your works will follow you. And so Paul emphasizes these are things that can help us when we think about these three things. Can help us to be strong. and our souls lie in the balance. Are you strong or are you weak? The good news is, if you're less than strong, you can change that. God has given you the tools to work out and to strengthen yourself spiritually and to get to the level where you need to be. But only you can do it. I hope that we'll all do what we can to be strong and not ever be satisfied. All of us could be even stronger. No matter how strong you are, you can still grow in strength by the grace of God. You can be strengthened. I hope that we'll do that. Are you subject to the invitation of Christ? Maybe you haven't obeyed the gospel. That's where it all begins. If you want to go to heaven, you have to take care of the sin problem in your life. You cannot do that by yourself. And you cannot believe sin out of your life. You have to obey the gospel. You have to come in contact with the blood of Christ. Only that will wash away your sins. You do that by repenting and being baptized. When you do that, your sins will be washed away. You'll be made free. You'll become a new creature in Christ. You can do that this very moment. Will you be enlisted into the army of the Lord? You can't gain the victory without being in the army. Yes, you have to live a certain way in the army, but outside of the army, you're already a part of the wrong side. You're part of the devil's army. You're on the losing side, but you can change that by obeying the gospel. Will you do that this morning? If you're a child of God and you've drifted away, you've already repented and been baptized, but somehow you've let the devil overcome you. Do something about that. Repent and pray God. He's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. If you need our prayers, come forward. We'll pray for you and encourage you and help you. But do what's right. You can be a strong child of God. Do it right now as we together stand and sing.